Are you a single believer looking for the love of your life?
Or are you a married believer looking to grow the love you already have?
If you like practical advice
based on the Word of God
with real life examples,
you're in the right place.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
Welcome to Love with the Lines. And welcome to Love with the Lines. I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
And this is episode 83.
Wow.
You're not 83 years old.
I am not. No. I'm not even half of 83. Well, I'm a little more than half of 83. Probably two-thirds. I'd have to think about that.
Your commentary on the episode numbers is always very interesting.
Fascinating.
Anyway.
Anyway, we digress. Well, I do anyway.
So recently, to celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary, we did some episodes where we talked about 20 ways that we're alike and 20 ways that we're opposite. But Wayne found a great article by Dennis Rainey from Family Life. It was written to celebrate his 40th anniversary. And we decided we perused it a little bit and we thought it looked good, but we just want to let you know we're doing this cold. So typically when we present an article, we read through it and have some thoughts about what we're going to say about those things, but we decided we're just going to read this one cold, and so you'll get our immediate reaction to these things and our commentary on it. And we're going to put the link to this article in the podcast description so that you can access it yourself and check out these 40 lessons, because there's some good stuff in here.
So we're not sure. We're going to try to get through 40 of them, but we may not get through all 40 of them tonight. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Okay.
Am I starting?
Yes.
Oh, well, you didn't tell me that. See, communicate. I bet that's in here somewhere.
Probably.
Anyway, he talks about 40 years ago, he married his wife. And then after 6 children, 19 grandchildren, and decades of married life, some of the things that they've learned. Mm-hmm. So, number one, marriage and family are about the glory of God. And then he talks about Genesis 1:27, how that says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. From the beginning, marriage has been central to God's glory on planet Earth. The Bible begins with marriage and ends with marriage. What God designed and lifted up and gave a transcendent purpose, man has dumbed down." That's mm-hmm. interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. "Many today make the purpose of marriage to be one's personal happiness, finding another person who meets their needs. But God created marriage to reflect his image, to reproduce a godly heritage, and to stand together in spiritual battle." Ooh, spiritual battle. Boy, now that's an interesting thing to throw in them.
Yes.
Something about marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. "Your marriage, your covenant-keeping love, will be your greatest witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Marriage is about the glory of God, not about the happiness in man." Mm. Ooh, that's another good one.
Yeah, that's a great statement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let's see, what's number two? So then it goes into marriage is taking place on a spiritual battlefield, not on a romantic balcony. Mm-hmm. Boy, and if you've been married at all, you know that's true.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on to say, "Satan's first attack on the image of God was to destroy the image bearer's relationship with him. Then Satan went after Adam and Eve and their relationship with one another. If he targeted marriage to begin with, why would we think our marriages would be any different?" Dennis goes on to say, "I think we often forget that our marriage, our family, can be targeted by the enemy to destroy the image bearers, to destroy the legacy that is passed on to future generations." And he notes that he believes the very definition of marriage is under attack today because of who created marriage, and that's God.
Yep. Well, mm-hmm. I would have to agree with that.
Yes, I would too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. There's so. Well, I like what the one note he says here, "But the scripture tells us your mate is not your enemy."
Mm-hmm. So that's number three. Your mate is not your enemy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. Hey, number three. Yep. Your mate is a gift from God to you. In all his or her imperfections, God has given you a gift. You can either receive it by faith or you can reject it.
Mm-hmm. And he puts Ephesians 6:12 in here. And I was actually thinking of this when we read number two. And that says that our battle is not against flesh and blood. And it says, have you ever looked at your spouse in the morning as your enemy, asking God, what did you do in bringing us together? Mm-hmm. And Dennis said, he has. And I don't know that I've ever done that with you.
I don't know if I have not either. I mean, I know there have been times when I've been upset with you, but I don't know if I've ever gone quite that far.
I've never felt that way. But it's like, yes, I've been upset, but that. But it is, and I think this is something I have to remind myself, like when I'm dealing with issues in my workplace and other places, is that it's a spiritual battle. We're not battling people. We're battling the enemy.
Yep. And and whenever you bring two imperfect people together, there's going to be some kind of conflict in
right.
there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I know, as we've shared before, we talked about 20 similarities and 20 being dissimilarities or opposites, whatever you want to call them. I mean, whenever you throw stuff like that in there too, there's always going to be some conflict.
Right. It creates opportunities for conflict. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. What's number four?
The couple that prays together stays together. And he notes that in the first months of his marriage, he went to a friend and he said, you've been married 25 years. You've got 5 kids. What's the best single advice you can give me? As a young man just starting out on marriage, and he said, that's easy. Pray for your wife every day.
No, with your wife. With your wife.
Oh, yeah.
Well, pray for your wife is good, too. But
okay, we can pray with and for.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And note, okay. Note, what was Dennis's response to that?
That's it? Pray with my wife?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and his friend responded, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I like the way he said, because he said he went home and they started praying together, and it worked really well for a couple months until the night. He says it's the night they went to bed facing opposite walls. So I'm assuming that there was some kind of disagreement or something there. But he also felt God speaking to him that night, saying, aren't you going to pray with her?
Mm-hmm.
So, which I like what he said here. And, you know, he says,
Go back to that's important, the whole thing there. So he said they were facing the opposite walls. And he said, although it wasn't the most comfortable position physically expressed where they were spiritually and emotionally, Dennis said,
that's what I was going to say.
There seemed to be a tap on my shoulder that night. And it wasn't Barbara. God was speaking to me in my conscience. He said, hey, Rainey, aren't you going to pray with her tonight? And he said, I don't like her tonight. And then you said, you were going to read this. He said,
Yeah, and he said, but you made the commitment to pray every day with your wife. And I said, but God, you know that in this situation, she is 90% wrong. And God said, yes, but it was your 10% that caused her to be 90% wrong. It's like,
I like that.
Interesting, yes.
Mm. And then it was funny because then Dennis goes on to say, I wanted to roll over and say, sweetheart, will you forgive me for being 10% wrong? But after the words got caught in my throat, I said, will you forgive me for, and then whatever the offense was.
Yeah. And he said him and his wife are both strong-willed, rebellious people.
Stubborn.
Rebellious. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. But they've been transformed by praying every day.
Yeah. He says, now we are two strong-willed people who bow their wills before Almighty God on a daily basis and invite him into our presence. Praying with your spouse will change the course of your marriage and legacy. Mm-hmm. And this really was an ouch. This is one of the paragraphs that we read beforehand. And it was an ouch, because when Wayne was on the road with his job, we were really good at praying together every day, because he called me at night to talk to me before we each went to bed, and we would pray together on the phone. But then when he got home, we got out of the habit of doing that. And I realized it's like, oh, you know, we pray together occasionally, but we don't make a point to do it daily. And so now we've committed to getting back on track with doing it, praying together daily.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds easy, but when you're, you know, when you're both busy and have stuff going on, it makes it challenging.
Yep.
Yeah, but well worth it. Yep. Mm-hmm. Shall we go on to the next one?
Yes, number five.
Number five, isolation is a subtle killer of relationships. Isolation kills relationships. Yep. He doesn't say much about that.
Well,
go ahead.
The scriptures, Genesis 2:24.
Yep, gives us a prescription from scripture: leave, cleave, and become one. The enemy of our souls does not want a husband and a wife to be one. Instead, he wants to divide us. Mm-hmm. Then in John 17, Jesus prayed for the church to be one. He realized that when we are in isolation, we can be convinced of anything. Boy, ain't that the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's, I love that how that was a concise paraphrase of Genesis 2:24, leave, cleave, and become one.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something to remember, because I know marriages that have been in trouble because one spouse or the other is still way too connected to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
This can happen either way. It happens a lot with men
mm-hmm.
who are close to their mothers,
and their
mothers aren't willing to give up control and want to remain involved in their life and call the shots and think that the son should listen to them more than they listen to their new wife. And that's a relationship killer right there. But it can happen the other way too,
mm-hmm.
where a woman is too attached to her family and puts their opinions and their needs and what they want ahead of her husband. So either way, it's not a good situation.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Mm-hmm. What's number six?
Number six, it's easier for two broken people to build a marriage and a family from the same set of biblical blueprints. And he goes on to say, what would a physical house look like if you had two different architects, two different builders, two different sets of blueprints? You get a pretty funny looking house. The same thing happens in your marriage if you and your spouse are building your relationship and family from different plans.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's one of the things that we've talked about off and on is before you get married, talk about what you want to get out of marriage. You know, do you want kids? Do you not want to have
mm-hmm.
kids? Do you want to live? You know, where do you want to live? You know, are both of you going to work? Is just one going to? I mean, there's so many different things.
Where are you going to spend your holidays?
Yes.
Whose family are you going to spend Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's all an issue. And
mm-hmm.
you don't, and a lot of times you don't think about that stuff until you get married.
Right. And I know, I think our second episode was it all started with two very broken
mm-hmm.
people. Fortunately for us, we met Jesus as our Savior 7 years into our marriage, or I can pretty much guarantee we would not have celebrated a 40th wedding anniversary.
Probably.
We would mm-hmm. have been divorced a long time ago. And that is because we started to pull our marriage together and base it on
mm-hmm.
on God's word and his precepts for mm-hmm. marriage.
And it wasn't easy because we found out we were pretty screwed up.
Right. Yes, it took quite a bit of work. Yes, we had some real issues that we didn't even realize we had.
Yeah.
And so this is Dennis Rainey's, this is connected to family life. And he says, for the past 37 years, family life has hosted Weekend to Remember marriage getaways. I believe we mentioned
we've been to a few of those over the
years.
We've
never been to Weekend to Remember. We've been to some other marriage getaways.
Okay.
I'd like to get to Weekend
to
Remember.
I thought we had gone to one, I guess
no.
not. No.
If you haven't been to this with your spouse, I encourage you to go. Weekend to Remember speakers explain God's blueprints for successful marriage and family and transparently share from their own lives. Yes, we need to get on one of those. We've been
on
some
were
different
two
ones.
Other. Okay, now I'm thinking of another one that was on weekends we were at.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Number seven, it is healthy to confess your sins to your spouse. And then he goes on to say about James 5:16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, and you will that you may be healed. So if you want to be healthy, develop a marriage relationship where your spouse has access to interior of your soul. Are you struggling with bitterness over a betrayal? Will you pray for me? You know, stuff like that
mm-hmm.
is what they're talking about. When you're struggling with a bad attitude, with a sense of rebellion, thinking about something that you shouldn't be thinking about, bring your spouse into the interior of your soul. Share it with your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And lots of times your spouse might have an interesting perspective or a different way of
mm-hmm.
looking at the situation as well that you haven't thought of. But this is a communication thing. Make sure that when you share with your spouse that you are clear, especially women, that you are clear whether or not you want them to just listen
mm-hmm.
to what you have to say or whether you want their advice on it, because
mm-hmm.
men like to fix things
mm-hmm.
and so sometimes women just want you to listen mm-hmm. at their husbands and boyfriends and fiancés. They don't want you to fix everything.
They just need somebody to listen to
right.
them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Wait for them to ask for your advice.
Well, I've heard about that.
Mm-hmm. Number 8, it's impossible to experience marriage as God designed it without being lavish in your forgiveness of one another. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep.
That is truth right there. Ephesians 4:32 says we should forgive each other just as God in Christ forgave you. And that actually goes for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But Dennis goes on to say, failing to forgive or to ask for forgiveness kills oneness and unity and life in a marriage. Mm-hmm. And he adds, I love this statement by Ruth Bell Graham. A happy marriage is the union of two good forgivers.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, we should make a poster with that one. Mm-hmm. A happy marriage is a union of two good forgivers. That is truth, mm-hmm. truth, truth. And he goes on to say, why is that true? Because forgiveness means we give up the right to punish the other person. In a marriage relationship, there are plenty of things, either committed or omitted, where you're going to have to give up the right to punish the other person. Bitterness does not create oneness.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's a great truth.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he goes, number 9, one of the greatest threats to any marriage is losing a teachable heart.
Mm.
Proverbs 4:23 reminds us, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Most of us do all we can to prevent a heart attack. Why? Because there's a simple equation. If the heart dies, you die. And the Bible is filled with references to the heart. In fact, the Great Commandment is one that calls our heart to love God totally and fully and to love our neighbors as ourselves. So pay attention to your heart. Guard it so it doesn't become hardened and not teachable. And then he goes on to say, a teachable heart is a spiritually receptive heart.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you asked your spouse to forgive you? Well, we've done that once or twice.
I think it happened a few times this weekend.
Mm-hmm, yep.
I've been a little cranky this weekend.
Yeah, we both have been. Yep. And then remember, from the heart flows the springs of life.
All right, so we have time for one more in this episode. Number 10 is every couple needs a mentor couple who is one lap ahead of them in the seasons of life.
That's a good one.
Yes. Who's your couple? Who's your person? If you're a newlywed, you need someone to coach you on the habits you established mm-hmm. at the beginning of your marriage. If you're starting out with your kids, you need someone just to say, you know what? This is normal. This is yep. why it happens. Even if you are moving into the empty nest with adult children, I've got news for you. You really need a mentor in that phase. Relating to adult children has been more challenging than the terrible twos. Not because our kids are bad kids. It just didn't turn out the way mm-hmm. I envisioned it.
Yep.
Wow. I've often said, I've probably said in these episodes, that parenting your adult children is by far the hardest stage of parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends this one with, who's your mentor? Be careful about who's speaking mm-hmm. into your life.
Yep.
We have been very blessed to have godly family members. Your great aunt mm-hmm. and great uncle were great mentors to us. There have been other people in our lives mm-hmm. who were mentors. We sought out older couples at church mm-hmm. who had long marriages to ask their opinion. It also, it says here, like every phase of life, because that's why a life group or a small group is very important, because we actually learned from other couples in our small group who had already had raised children through that parenting phase, and they had already been through things in their marriage, and we were able to learn quite a bit from them as our mentors.
Well, and in our life group, too, there was a fairly broad range of ages.
Yes.
And, you know, we were probably the newest married
mm-hmm.
to ones that had been married 20, 30 years longer than we have been.
Right. Yep.
So.
Yeah. So that's important. Find a godly mentor who's living a Christian life by example.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, that's all we have time for in this episode. So we will continue next week with more of Dennis Rainey's list of 40 lessons from 40 years of marriage.
And you're going to go ahead and post the link to this as you normally would.
Yes, in the podcast description.
Okay.
So until we talk to you next time, we pray that your marriages and relationships will be richly blessed.
God bless. Good night now.